there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Your teen requested a ride, but this time not from you. It's through their Uber teen account. You drive your teenager around, a lot, to their friend Jacob's house, their other friend Jake's house, to James's, to Jaden's, to Jalen's, to...
Mom, this is Jake's house, not Jacob's.
Now with an Uber teen account, your teen can request a ride under your supervision. They'll ride with a highly rated driver, and with live trip tracking, you'll follow along the whole ride to their friends' houses that all sound the same. Add your teen to your Uber account today. See app for details.
Bye, Mom.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week, I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. Welcome back to season two of Life's a Beach. Have you missed me? Well, listen, I can't wait to travel the world with you and see all the sights with more amazing celebrity guests. Now, my passenger today is a top comedian, TV presenter, and is now an author. His brilliant new book, A Class Act, is brilliantly funny and it's out now. So go and check it out. Please welcome on board, Rob Beckett! This is the final boarding call for Rob Beckett. Rob Beckett, can you please get on the plane? Rob! Rob!
Rob Beckett!
We've got Rob Beckett on board. Hello, love.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm a big fan of the podcast. So I'm very excited about
you
this.
Really?
I am.
You know we did this bit on a plane and we're flying on a plane.
Yeah, yeah, I know all that and all that kind of stuff. And I've listened to the Michael McIntyre one. He had a story about Madonna.
Didn't oh, he? Yes. Oh, yeah. You have
and Nick,
done your
Nick
research.
Grimshaw. Oh, and, yeah, God, I've listened to them. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Very nice. Very
and
nice.
And the Romish one, was it Ethiopian food you were slagging off?
We weren't slagging it off. Well, what we were saying you know. Is... How Ethiopia's got up on its feet and sorted its life out, yet kid of the 80s, you
exactly,
see an
you
Ethiopian
can't.
Restaurant, like, oh my God, what they're selling there, rice?
Yeah.
And then you're like, Alan,
calm down.
Calm down.
Yeah. It's true though, you have an idea in your head of something, you can't get beyond it.
What are you like as a traveller, love?
As a traveller, I'm still get very excited. I travel a lot. As you know, like when you're a comedian, you're always moving about and flying to different places, but I still love it. I still always get... Like, out of habit now, my magazine, new magazine for a flight.
Oh, right,
yeah. Do you ever do that? Do you get make sure you... And you can't read it until I'm on the plane.
Oh, my God, yeah. It keeps so it's in the cellophane
yeah,
so
in
all
the
that.
Cellophane, then you read it on the plane, yeah. So, like, but I'm still very excited. It's harder with kids now, obviously, because they do sort of... Like, you completely ruin your life and your face and your energy for stuff. But I'm still very excited, you know.
Do you find people do give you dirty looks when you go on with the kids?
Do you know what? Like, you get some people. Yes, exactly. But what I've realised is I used to give people slight dirty looks, but when you have your own, I'm so relieved they're not mine, it actually makes me happier.
Oh.
So it's weird. When before you have kids, you think, oh, what idiots, so inconsiderate, shut those kids up.
Yeah.
And then when you haven't got kids, you go, I'm so happy their life's not being ruined, especially with noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't got noise-canceling headphones for a flight, oh, my God, that's life-changing. Then big ones, I've got a big, they're quite expensive, but they're worth it. If you value your sleep, you put them on, you're in a different way. It's like being in the womb. Have you got them?
I need these.
Oh, they're amazing. No one can hear you or speak to you at all. You're just, like, cocooned.
And you wear them on the flight?
Yeah.
But don't people judge you?
What, for having the big ones?
Yeah, but don't you feel like, oh, he's a bit rude, a bit unsociable?
Oh, is it a networking event? I didn't realise you have to walk up and down trying to find some people.
I need a plumber.
Right, let's go and see the aisles.
No, but you have a reputation for being very approachable. And just if I saw you on a plane, you had these fuck-off headphones, I'd leave me alone.
Oh, no, that's what I wear to travel.
Please, sir, can you remove your noise-cancelling headphones? Can you remove... your noise cancelling headphones. Can you take them off? I'll write it down on a pad.
Because listen, we'll talk about your book in a minute, Rob yes. Beckett, A Class Act. Now, something I've read in Jonathan Ross's book, and this is the one thing, we're working class, but it took him ages. When you go on a plane, drink, yes. get your money's worth. And Jonathan Ross says, in a, he was on a flight to LA with Roger Daltrey.
Yeah.
Roger puts his ear cancelling things on his eye mask.
Yeah.
Jonathan, what are you doing that for? You're missing out on the bar.
Yes.
And of course, he turns up in LA, Roger Daltrey. Ready for work, you're paralytic.
I know.
You're on that yeah. you're on that scooter thing getting a fireman's lift off an air steward. But I mean, that's a class thing, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's me getting my money's worth. And it's the same thing with inclusive holidays. I need my money's worth. And you know it's just fucking up your holiday.
Well, oh, is that someone?
Who's that? Felt like it was haunted.
I could definitely someone.
Knock
back.
Twice if you're a ghost.
There's someone up there. Is there someone up? Is Paul up?
No.
Or is it someone not
that knocked.
Next door, Bill? I could definitely hear something. I was like, is someone walking around the house? Sorry.
But when I said knock, when I said knock, it knocked.
Yeah.
This has turned into an episode of Most Haunted.
God, I'm sure the audience would have heard that on the...
I'm going to sell that footage. That'll go viral. It's a shame we didn't have it on camera.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been, yeah, a bit of clickbait.
Yeah.
Ghost Interrupts Podcast. I'm better at that now, but I still, when I first go on a plane, you try and eat all of it. Everything you get given, you eat all of it because
yes.
you've got to get your money's worth and you've got experience. You can't, and I think sometimes as well, when I first flew on a business class flight, which was with work, when I went to Australia to do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Now,
yeah.
I almost felt like I was representing the whole working class and I had to try everything to go and report back because I couldn't bear, like, I've been given this opportunity. I need to experience this as an experiment and go back. And I couldn't imagine to go, so what was that cocktail like? I didn't have it, pardon? You didn't have it? So I went for it and I went to the bar. There's a bar on the Emirates plane. Have you ever been on an Emirates business class flight? It's an actual bar.
We had John Bishop on it. He had a bloody shower on an Emirates first class.
Oh, I've not done first class.
So you get a bar in Emirates. I'm not being one of those. Oh, I've never been on a because I'll be on Virgin.
No.
They have a bar.
But there are different varying levels because you get business with work. So, but in the Emirates there is like a full bar, and like I went up there and like thought I'm at a bar and I'm playing. So I had a martini. I hate it. I don't know. I just felt like you can't just get a can of Heineken when you're on a bar and on a plane. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then I got free internet, so I sent an email because I've sent an email on a plane. But I was so overexcited, I sent it before we took off. I was like, this is pointless. I couldn't just use 4G, but I've signed up for £8. Anyway, so but one thing I did do, and I write about it in the book, because the book's all about that, about class and being a bit of a fish out of water. And when you do what we do, you've come from a similar background.
Yeah.
You are experiencing these totally new worlds you're not ready for, and you don't know anyone else. So you can't really go, is this normal? Should I be doing this? And then you get little, sort of bags with like moisturisers in and stuff like that. What's that?
I've just seen a footprint go across the top there.
Really?
It's got to be a shadow.
You two gonna go and have a look?
Close, lock the door.
Is there anyone there?
No one there. Door's closed, blowing it.
So the door's open by itself and I saw a footprint above me.
What is your back door?
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Rob, did you write slut in blood on this wall?
No, I didn't see it. You're looking at the wrong wall.
Oh God, it's over there. Me and my lazy eye.
I was too lazy as well.
Sorry, this has turned into a fucking play.
It's like a horror film. God, imagine the true crime podcast they'll do about this if we all die.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry about this because he's never like this.
Never? What?
No, I think
haunted.
People realise we're not on a plane now because I've just said, oh my God, the back door's open by
I
itself.
I thought it was windy.
It's turbulence, Alan. talk about class. Yes, carry on.
Yeah,
sorry.
So about when you are working class and in a middle class or upper class or whatever world, you do just find yourself doing mad things. So I got, you know, them little the bags they get with all the moisturisers and the stuff in it, like toothpaste, toothbrushes, razors and all that. Anyway, so I had one and I thought, obviously, put it in my bag, take it home. And as I was leaving the plane, I realised there was all these people didn't want them. And I was like, oh, these lunatics, it's left them. I think the term's frequent flyer. So I just picked them all up. I stole 10. I just went round. I looted a plane. and just put them all in my bag. And I got off. I was like, I don't know why I've done it. Then I'm queuing at security, and then I'm panicking. But yes. I basically, and then I wrapped them all up and gave them as Christmas presents.
Oh no!
That's so embarrassing.
That's a
isn't
class
it?
Thing, though, isn't it?
I know,
though,
but I felt like it was a real
victory.
You don't deserve it.
It,
and it's
yeah.
not, and it's all going to go away, and it's not going to come back again. So just grab it now. It's mad, isn't it?
Because, do you remember when you came to my house
yeah.
and you were telling me, I was having, I don't want to talk about it, but I was having a bit of a crisis of conscience, and you said, what did that thing you said to me? And you said it straight there, and I was like, it made sense.
Oh, what, like the poverty mindset?
Poverty mindset. You yeah. think it's all going to get taken away.
Yes.
And I do get a bit feral.
Of course.
I think I've been given this opportunity. I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And it's all going to get taken away. And you write about it in the book. And
yes.
I was like, yes.
Oh,
that's
good.
What he explained to me.
Well, yeah, I think it's because I was propelled by fear from my background
yeah.
of being working class. And a poverty mindset is basically when you think there's only a certain amount of money and it's all going to go away, so I've got to get it while I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not... And then that coupled with imposter syndrome, you don't really
oh, God,
have
I
enough self-worth to
I
think
know,
you deserve
yeah.
to be there. It's like a double whammy of, right, I've got to get it all now because
yeah.
I shouldn't even be here anyway. And that's because haven't got peers or family members or people you grew up with doing similar things.
Yeah.
So you feel sort of so alien.
That's true.
And there's nothing worse, you know, there's nothing worse than not making it apart from making it and losing it all.
Yeah.
And having to
oh
shuffle
my,
back to
yeah,
the call
yeah.
centre or back to the flower market.
Well, that's it. I do
and go,
get
oh, look
fear.
At him, he
I'm,
thought he was
yeah.
going to make it. And then he comes back. So that's what sort of drives you a little bit. It's all down to class.
I have got
really.
Imposter syndrome. Even that fucking ghost walked backed off.
Yeah, exactly.
He only popped his head and closed the door and nothing going on here.
Imposter syndrome isn't you think people keep coming into your house, by the way. That's this.
Oh, okay.
You have these imposters walking around.
Now listen,
yeah.
this the front of the book
yes.
is at that famous place in Peckham.
So it's not the one in Peckham, but it's a Manzi's one, which is the same
yes,
company.
Yeah.
But this is the Tower Bridge pie mash shop.
Oh, because I went to the one in Peckham because all my family's from Peckham.
Oh, is it?
And I did, not that you would ever know I was in there, because you'll hear a story. It's quite high tables in there. And I was doing Who Do You Think You Are? And this woman came and she was wearing a strapless top. They can't use any of the footage because the way it's filmed, it looks like she's naked. She told me so many interesting
oh,
things
no,
about
really?
My family, but you can't do it.
Have you got the director's cut?
Well, maybe I should.
Put it
all
on
this
OnlyFans.
Amazing stuff about me...
Alan Carr covered in liquor.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting there having pie and mash and she's topless. And I'm like, yeah.
Sounds great. Where is this place?
Welcome to Peckham.
What a waste on you.
I know. Do you actually like pie and mash?
Yeah, I do. I do really like it
like
with
the
liquor.
Liquor.
I'll have stewed eels, but not jelly. I can't do jelly eels. They're awful. They're so disgusting, jelly
is
eels.
Is that controversial coming from
a little bit.
From?
People will disown me slightly for that. And I've even had a little bit of stick on the front because you eat pie and mash with a fork and a spoon and there's a knife that I'm not even using next to the plate. And I've had people from East End and South East London go, why is there a knife next to your pie?
Oh,
I'm holding the spoon. Calm down.
You're going to get like a Chelsea smile from that.
Yeah, I know, we're getting bashed up. Yeah.
My God. It's great though, isn't it? It's great. Yeah. In the book as well, it says when you go through that Blackwall Tunnel
yeah.
and you feel like you're home.
Yes.
Do you reckon you'll ever leave that kind of the place, South London?
Why
is South London better than North London?
I don't think either's better or worse, but I think the reason why people don't like North and South London, if you're from South, you don't like North and vice versa, is because yeah. everywhere looks the same. Mm. It's all the same buses, all the same signs, all the same shops. And you feel like you should know people, know where you are, but
yeah.
you don't know anything.
Yeah.
You know, like Kilburn, I'd fancy my chances in Barbados or Istanbul more so than Kilburn because
yeah.
I don't know anything or anyone.
Yeah.
So it's a silly little London thing, but you do feel, I don't know, just weirdly safer when you're on your side of the river. But I don't think I'll ever live north of the river.
Never.
I can see myself moving further into a countryside
yeah,
or going to
yeah.
a different country. But if I'm living in the UK or something, it's going to always be South London over North London. I couldn't move.
Yeah, yeah. And then you say that thing that I said in the book about when you're going up in central London, these houses, yeah. 8-9 million. Oh, fucking hell. You get that much. I earn a good wage. I'm not being this. Oh,
yeah,
you know,
no.
I earn a really
yeah,
good wage.
You've done arenas and you still can't.
What are they? How they? What do they do for me?
is he?
Exactly.
8-9 million. Yeah.
But it's not
and
just
that's their second home.
Yeah, I know.
They don't even live there.
I know what you mean, though, because it's that thing you saw. But it's like that goes back to the book. It's generations of wealth. You can't just have one good generation of like someone. You know, you've done brilliantly for yourself, but you know, there'll be people that are starting out with, oh, here's £3 million deposit on a £30 million house in central London. Thanks, Dad. You know what I mean?
So
it's, you know, you can only do so much, and it's that generational wealth that has the impact, I think.
Your teen requested a ride, but this time not from you. It's through their Uber teen account. You drive your teenager around a lot to their friend Jacob's house, their other friend Jake's house, to James's, to Jaden's, to Jalen's, to...
Mom, this is Jake's house, not Jacob's.
Now with an Uber teen account, your teen can request a ride under your supervision. They'll ride with a highly rated driver, and with live trip tracking, you'll follow along the whole ride to their friends' houses that all sound the same. Add your teen to your Uber account today. See app for details.
Bye, Mom.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Tinder. You matched, chatted, vibe checked. Now it's time to meet IRL. So what's stopping you? Tinder is making dating safer and easier with their excellent safety features. Like Share My Date, the best way to let your friends know your plans. While Moonlight allows you to discreetly call emergency services. And Are You Sure will prompt people to think twice before sending a potentially harmful message. Explore all of the possibilities for yourself. It starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today.
Where did you go on holiday as a kid?
So the holidays as a kid, we used to go to Butlins and caravan parks. But the big one that was sort of like that, you know, I think everyone's got like the holiday that if they think of a holiday, that's the one. It was like the big moment of their life. Was we used to go to Javier in Spain, where Tom Allen used to go.
Yes.
Because Bromley, southeast London, everyone goes to the same place. It's really weird.
He told me this, yeah.
Yeah, so Tenerife, full of Glaswegians. Don't know why.
But
my dad had a mate who had this villa in Spain that we used to get cheap. I've never asked why, and it's better that way. But for us, a villa was a little bit over the top, really, for us. So we got this villa in Spain with its own pool, and we just felt like we were like royalty or just like Hollywood stars. It was me and my two of my brothers. I've got four brothers, but they're all a bit older. But two of my brothers and me, my mum and dad. Then Auntie Olive used to come, who we didn't see very often. She would just sit there. She was about, she always seemed 95 for 30 years. And she'd sit there with she'd sit under an olive tree, drinking wine, reading books, eating olives. Her name was Olive, under an olive tree. She really had a theme. And she'd get absolutely shit faced, but like in a fun, nice nan way.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'd have like two bottles of wine every day. And then at one point, she used to float, she couldn't swim. She used to bob around in the pool in a ring. And then my mum and dad, I was there sort of playing Game Boy or something. Mum and dad were watching, and they were a bit drunk as well. My dad was very good making these cocktails. So just sitting there and getting drunk. And then they go, oh, look, Olive's trying to swim. Bless her. Look, 83 in there, giving it a go. Look at her, having a go. Shane, she just fell out. And they were too pissed to realise. She's like, Auntie Olive's like nearly drowning and then drags herself out. She's like, why didn't you help me? I was like, I thought you were swimming. She went, I'm 83. I'm not going to start now. But yeah, that were lovely memories. And that's sitting by a pool all day in Spain, and then sit by a pool all day or go to the beach, and you come back, lay on the bed, all sort of like pink and hot, have a Fanta Limon. So you'd have like fresh clothes you'd put on that you bought especially for the holiday, all laid out, and it was and that kind of thing. And then you put your going out outfit on, and you go to the front and have dinner. And it was almost quite scheduled and routine. You know, we'd go to the market. Remember the Spanish markets? You buy a
well. That's when you felt you were going really like, oh my god, I'm like a native Spaniard here. And you and it's all t-shirts in English, all fridge magnets, and Princess Diana tea towels. You're like, oh, living like the locals.
Oh, smell that leather. Good leather. Real leather. And stuff. Yeah, like Nike belts. Didn't even make belts. A leather Nike belt.
Don't show banana pants.
So, yeah, that's like stuff. But yeah, that for us was the... I love those. That was the best holidays.
Now, did you go on holiday to Centre Parks with Tom Allen?
So, yes. I'd never been to Centre Parks until I met my wife.
Yeah.
And her family always used to go. And then for my birthday or her birthday, I can't remember, we got like one of the bigger ones where you can get like four bedroom ones, and we invited some friends, and Tom Allen came with a few others, and that was quite good fun. That was it. I do like Centre Parks. It's nice. But I feel like I've had my fill of it with the kids. It's sort of like... Once you've done it a few times, you've done it, ain't you?
I've never been.
Yeah, I don't...
Is it like being in a forest? Because they make out, you're like, I'm stuck in a forest, like it's the Amazon. Or do you know you're not really in a forest?
No, it does. Do you know what is quite nice? It's the most easiest and accessible place to go to and make you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, but actually it's just off the M1. It's only because they make you park your cars, it feels like you're in a forest.
And so is there a sphere all over you?
No. It's not like...
What, Thunderdrome?
Yeah,
Thunderdrome. We don't need another hero.
That's me doing archery and then segue. Come on, kids, badminton at three. Just over the swimming pool. So the swimming pool, I would say...
it was like a lot on... Yeah, oh, huge.
So if you've got kids, it's quite an easy place to feel like you're in the forest and you're getting back to nature. However, if you haven't got the hassle of kids and you've got dogs like you... You might as well just go somewhere which actually is the forest because you don't need the local amenities.
That's basically what it is. That's the thing. That's what's put me off is I thought it was like under a sphere.
No.
And I have this panic attack that like, you know, maybe someone turns the oxygen off and then you're like, help me, help me. You know, like, and it's turns
it's like a sci-fi drama.
Yeah.
Like the new HBO sci-fi drama. And the dome.
The dome. And I like, can't breathe.
I don't want to go on the rapids anymore. I'm tired.
That's changed my opinion.
Yeah.
I might go now.
They need to make
that a bit more specific in the literature that it's not a dome.
Yeah.
Welcome to the dome.
Just off the M1. What's been your most decadent hotel you've ever stayed at? I'm talking butler service. We've had everything, haven't we?
Okay, there's two. It was the first venture into a posh one. When me and Lou went to Thailand years and years ago before we had kids, and we got the honeymoon villa, which was like in Koh Tao in Thailand, which is an amazing island. It's a good Koh Tao because they do loads of diving and scuba diving courses. The people there don't get too drunk. So it's fun, but it's not like Koh Samui's. Like,
oh my god, that's crazy!
It's insane. It's like it's like the '90s, just mental.
Yeah.
So because we went there for a night to see if we liked it, and we just went. I tell you what, let's go to the mad one for a night and see if we like it. It was awful. We stayed right on the mad beach in a room. Our room. You open the door. In front of it was a swimming pool that had see through glass, like it was SeaWorld. So you just see like bodies and people just like copping off of each other. Someone getting fingered in the corner. I'm like, and everyone just off their face, and then like drum and bass boom, 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 all night. So me and Lou went, this is awful, let's have an early night. And that was quite weird because we turned the telly on, and when I turned it over, on their channel, dubbed in Thai, was a TV show called The 50 Greatest Plastic Surgery Shockers, and I was on it. And I was like, what the fuck is this place? It felt like...
You don't look that bad.
I was doing a talking head. I had some real strong views on Alicia Duval.
Oh god, I actually thought, even though you don't look like... And this is bad. You don't look like you've had any work done.
I was number 7, and there are my teeth. But anyway, so we stayed there, and then we went to Koh Tao, and we stayed in the honeymoon villa, and it had its own pool.
Wow.
And it wasn't actually that much more than, like, because people go, oh, yeah, go to Thailand. It's like £8 stay in a half.
Oh,
but
bullshit.
It's like 140 for a room, just like with a pool. You're like, do that.
Yeah.
So that was the first, that, even though I've stayed in better places, that, and it's called the honeymoon villa in... Koh Tao Cabana, I think it was called, the hotel. And it was at this own pool that looked over the bay. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
And like, when you're just like, I've got our own pool.
I know,
in a room. Not like a big Airbnb you're sharing.
No.
That's the show. So that's the pool, and that's the view.
Look at that.
So you sit there, and then you get a little hammock, and then that's the bedroom. You can put pictures of that up on your,
that's
on
romance.
Your Instagram. But that was amazing. It wasn't even a honeymoon. But it was expensive, but it wasn't mad money.
No.
I did get an angry phone call from them saying, you stole, where have you got the torch? Because it's so dark, like the torch. And the remote control was like, no, we haven't. Definitely had it. When we got home, we found it in a load of dirty washing. But yeah, that was
Paul's mum and dad went to Bulgaria and they accused him of stealing the telly out the room. I mean, that's a bit rude, isn't it? And not, his family are not like that. But then, apparently fallen off, been bent behind a puffy. But, I mean, you make sure you find the telly before you accuse people who've been there of stealing the telly.
I know, but we definitely did take the control.
Yeah, but that's a telly.
Oh, they said the telly. Oh, they said the telly.
The telly.
Oh, yeah.
You've stolen the telly. Let's have a look in your room suitcase. And then when they opened it up and went, we found it now.
Where was it?
It'd fallen off.
Oh, down
behind
there.
The telly.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought you meant the remote.
No, the fucking telly. And then when you check the room before you accuse a guest of stealing the telly.
I think that is fair.
And you need to put a better bloody wing nut or whatever you put a raw wing plug.
Oh, you're showing off. All your nut knowledge.
Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen here with me DIY. He doesn't even do it.
Wing nut's a sex move, isn't it? A wing nut.
What is a wing? Oh no, is that when you smack your willy around the face?
No, isn't a helicopter or something? Or anyway, I don't know, but a wing nut is just a nut that's got a little sort of wingy bits on the side, so it's easier to turn.
Well, what's that got to do with sex? Don't change the subject.
But you said a wing nut.
I know
nut, but...
teabagging, that's ball bagging in the face.
At the time, the most amazing place I've ever been, but I've played slightly nicer places since, if you want them as well.
Yeah, go on, tell them, the best.
So, Ziggy Bay in Oman, we were in Dubai, and then I got some work cancelled so I could extend the stay, and we got a good deal at this place called Ziggy Bay, which is a Six Senses place in Oman, and that was unreal. That was like, own swimming pool, and you open there was a little gate to the beach, and it's amazing.
Is it near a side of a mountain?
Yes. Have you been?
I've seen pictures of it. It looks stunning.
So you can do a thing well, because it's like a 2-hour drive from Dubai Airport, and it's quite a fun drive because you're going over all these dunes and rocks and stuff like that. Or what you can do is you can fly in on like a little paraglider thing.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be quite scary though, but you can actually, you get to the top of it and then you jump off the mountain and paraglide onto the beach.
No. For a split second then I was thinking, then when you actually think about, no.
Those little, you know them little ones, little thing at the end and a paraglider thing. Yeah, but that was amazing. And that was all inclusive, amazing food. But it was like you didn't even have to go to the restaurant. They could just bring it to your balcony. And that was, I'd been really busy that year, and that was our like special treat holiday.
Yeah,
and
you got to treat yourself, and you're only here once, love. I went to Oman and the heat knocked me out. I mean, I've never known heat like it.
When did you go?
Well, I went a few years back and Paloma Faith.
No, I mean, in the year, not part of the year.
2015.
I don't know, because I'd say...
It was over 40 degrees. I don't bloody know.
Summer is unbearable, but it was January time and it was lovely.
I said to her at the airport, I said, where are you staying? Staying at the same place. I said, love, we are going to have so much fun. I love holidays. I'm a party person.
Yep.
That heat, I found myself, I passed out on the floor.
Yep.
I was on the sun lounge. I just kept falling asleep. It was like Weekend at Bernie's.
Did they do that thing? Because I've been in Dubai when it was really hot. I got a deal and went in June and it was 46. It was outrageous.
Oh, I know.
But they come round and they sort of treat you like a beached whale. Because you're so hot. People come round with like a really light jet wash. And they go like hose you down. And you stand up and they just get, it's like cold mist. And just spray it on you like that. Yeah.
He just hit me with a mop.
But then they do that. There's constant lollies coming out. They just spray you and got an ice pack and stuff.
And you know what? Can I say, really lovely people, great staff. Yeah. And then, you know, your imagination does play tricks when you think of Oman. And then I'm like, oh, can I have a glass of wine? Yeah, love, what do you want? Because you sort of start thinking the worst. You know what I mean? Really friendly, lovely. I recommend it. But the E, oh my God, I was just like... She just said every time I saw you were asleep, and I'd be like, you know, like in the sun lounge like that. Where the heat just knocked me out. Well, at the bar asleep.
Well, I wouldn't choose Dubai or Oman if me and Lou had time and didn't have the kids. I normally just go there because it's only 6 hours.
Yeah,
you're guaranteed sun in January, December time, because January is when it's dead for us, isn't it?
Yeah, that's when we go away. Yeah,
yeah. So and then I think I'd prefer like a Thailand and Asia rather than Dubai when the kids are a bit older.
If you look out onto the left, you will see the beautiful dunes of Oman. If you look out onto the right, you'll see Rob Beckett attached to a glider.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision. every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When migraine strikes, you're faced with a choice. Ride it out with the trade-offs of treating or push through the pain and symptoms. With Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant, there's another option. Ubrelvy is a prescription medicine used to treat migraine attacks in adults and is not for prevention. One dose works fast to eliminate migraine pain. Most people had pain relief and some even had pain freedom within 2 hours. Treat it anytime, anywhere, without worrying where you are or if it's too late. People took Ubrelvy within 4 hours of a migraine attack.
Do not take with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors or if allergic to Ubrelvy. Allergic reactions can happen and may occur hours to days after use. Get medical help right away if you have swelling of the face, mouth, tongue, or throat, or trouble breathing. The most common side effects were nausea and sleepiness.
Ask your doctor about Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Find more product information at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by AbbVie.
So tell us your UK secret place, somewhere where you go. It doesn't have to be secret. I always say that. But somewhere where you go and you always feel home. It can be a pub. It can be a cove. It can be a beach. It can be a town.
Oh, do you know what? I do love Broadstairs. Down at Broadstairs. My mum and dad moved down towards Margate. Yeah. Do you like Broadstairs? Have you had it on here before?
No, listen. Oh. I was, when I was sick of London, I wanted to get out. And I said, I'm sick of London, I'm getting out. And then that castle on top of Broadstairs where Charles Dickens wrote Bleak House.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy that.
Did you try and buy it?
Well, and then someone put me off and said, Alan, if you want to get away and live, you know, away from it all, then you don't buy a castle on top of a hill where you have people knocking on the door saying, did Charles Dickens live here? So I was going to go to Broadstairs, even though I'd never been there. I just fancied living in a castle. I hate London. I'm sick of it. I'm going to live in a castle. Fuck you. Ha! See who comes running then. I'm going to quiet life. And then you thought, well, maybe not that castle.
Yeah.
Well, but is that, it nice, Broadstairs?
I like Broadstairs. We used to go a lot as kids, and it's close to my mum and dad, and there's Morelli's ice cream place is lovely. Oh. The beach is Viking Bay Beach is really nice, and that bit of fish and chips and all the, you know, cockles and whelks and stuff like that. Oh. So I do like going there for a bit of fresh air in the summer and stuff. But I also love gigging up north. I love being in a really beautiful sort of like in like York and places like that.
Yeah.
Just wandering around, and the locals are really friendly. Right? It is a bit more miserable down south, and if I'm a bit angrier, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an edge to it. Where,
Saying that, I've got one of my favourite places coming up on my tour, Chatham.
Well, last time I played Chatham, there was an actual fight in the crowd.
Oh, no.
That actually
Don't say that.
No, but like, Do you like Chatham?
I love Chatham. No, I did. Honestly, it's one of my best gigs, Chatham. I'm looking forward to going back.
Yeah, no, once they stop fighting, they're really attentive. You know, mop up the blood, they're ready to go.
Oh, I've only had one fight at my show, and it was up in a place near Saltburn. And so I said, right, we're going to do a bit of fun now, Q&A. Anyone got a question? This woman sticks her hand up. I said, what's your question? Why are you such a dick? And then someone who was a bit of an Aaron Carr fan went over and punched her in the face. Then it turned into a Western. You know, like in
really?
The film,
everyone's
coming. You half expect a man to be playing the piano in the corner. Someone slid across the bar and it's the jukebox. Do you know what I mean? So that's the only time I've had a fight.
Really?
Do you get fights at yours, Manny?
No, that was the only fight I've had. I've had sort of, you know, you get people shouting out and a bit lively and where you go, like, you know, some of the places you gig in. Like, it's just weird as well, because sometimes you go somewhere and you're not really doing a Rob Becker, Alan Carr show.
Yeah.
It's their night out and you just so happen to be the person performing.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like a corporate to that town almost, because they all know each other.
Yeah.
So Halifax was like that the other week. And the same with Workington, Barrow, Inverness. You sort of feel like you're just doing a gig for that town.
Yeah,
right? They're going to see whoever's
anyway.
There.
Yeah, they're going to turn up
like
anyway.
Workington, because everyone just works at Sellafield nuclear power plant. So I had a person in the front row, and I said, oh, where do you work? She went, the fan room. And I was like, what's that? It's like a sort of like a niche shop on the high street just selling fans. No, she went, literally, the fan room of the power plant. So she gave me the department she worked in, not what... She didn't say I work at Sellafield, because it's just red. Everyone works at Sellafield. So I was like, oh, the fan room. And then I was like, her husband was there. Where do you work? She went, Sellafield. Yeah. Where? With the fan room. I went, so how'd you meet? She sits next to me. And I just do sort of think, sorry, I do believe in true love, but I do think sometimes you might want to cast a net a bit further than 2 metres.
The thing is, on my last tour, when Chatty Man was still on, I mean, you would get people turn up and say, so, who's on tonight? I said, pardon? Well, who's the guest? I was like, no, it's just me. Yeah, I couldn't get Lady Gaga to come to Rochdale, funnily enough. But
I'll get there at the time, where's Romesh? I was like, you don't get Romesh for this price on a Saturday night, Andy. One or the other.
What do you like for delicacies and stuff? Do you try the local food?
Yes, I do. I feel like I've got a bit more less adventurous as I've got older. All I really want to do...
It's usually the other way round.
Yeah, but I think maybe that's just because I'm in knee-deep in toddler age, but all I really want is a really cold beer and some nice chips when I arrive. But no, I will give everything a go, but I sort of think I'm into national dishes.
Okay.
Right, so if something's like the national dish of somewhere, I'll try that. Local delicacies, I sort of think, why bother? If they were good enough, they would have been promoted to national dish. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
That's my angle.
And this is the kind of wisdom you get in Rob Beckett, a class act. That's changed my mind.
And you are bullied into doing it because you feel like you should like... Same with jelly deals. Jelly deals is a local delicacy.
Yeah.
Is it good enough to be a national dish? Absolutely not. It's disgusting. It's jelly and an eel, cold, right? So same with Thailand, right? Pad Thai.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a bit of Pad Thai, don't they?
Oh, God, I love Pad Thai.
It's great. It's a national dish.
Yeah.
Scorpion on a stick. Local delicacy.
Nah,
if it was any good, it would be over here in a Thai restaurant with satay sauce on it.
You'd get it on Deliveroo, wouldn't you?
Exactly. But it didn't make the...
Have me scorpion a bit well done.
Yeah. No, if you're leaving Thailand to open a Thai restaurant, you're bringing your best dishes.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's not here already, I doubt it's half good. So I will eat the national dish.
But local delicacies,
I'm a little bit more picky with.
Oh, okay. I get that. Listen, do you know what? That is a game changer, what you're saying about that. Yeah.
Well, because when I was in Thailand as well, I eat all the street food. I just think if you've never shit yourself, you're either lying or you're not taking enough risks.
Yeah.
I just think if you die without having shit yourself once, have you really lived? I think you've got to take a few chances in life.
Excuse me, sir. How do you like your scorpion on a stick? Well done. Or medium rare? Okay.
Now, obviously, you're happily married with Lou.
Well, yeah, married, yeah.
Married. What was you like before with the old holiday romance? Did you ever get lucky?
No.
I've seen some of the photos in the book. I'm being polite. Did you break any hearts when you were in Broadstairs or Benidorm?
No, I didn't. I broke a few deck chairs. I never really had any holiday romances at all, really.
Yeah.
Because I suppose... no. I mean, I went to COS when I was, like, 19.
Oh, yeah.
And that should have been nothing.
No.
Barren.
Nothing.
Do you know what? I've never been very good at pulling girls when it's, like, on that night. I'm a long gamer. I will grind you down over weeks and months at work.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
Women love that.
You become a nuisance.
I become a nuisance. I keep turning up, taking the no, coming again. Take another loss, coming again.
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't want to go at me? And then eventually it's sort of the Christmas party, we're all drunk, and then it's game on.
You pounce. Lovely.
I pounce. They're a willing positive.
I get it. Yeah, they haven't left their drink unattended.
No, exactly.
No, good for you.
Unfortunately for me. It's very difficult for me, aren't you? Obviously, I'm joking.
I've never, ever,
despite someone drinking. I've tried.
Now, we'll put that in, and then they'll change me not laughing, going, I don't know about that. I think
that's problematic, actually. Problematic's a great word to use if you don't know what your opinion is on something.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen all that stuff with Palestine and Israel. You go, it's problematic, isn't it? As a whole. That's every base covered. Not really. So I was never really good. So one is I love just getting absolutely battered.
Yeah.
On a night out with the lads, I just get really drunk to the point.
Then you don't have to go after.
Well, so one, that's self-preservation because I was drunk. I couldn't pull. Some people just go out on the pool and some people go out to have a fight. I was the drinker.
Yeah, I think that's safer out of all of them, isn't it, really? Yeah.
I was never very good. You know when, like, you sort of pretend, you sort of completely change your personality and pretend to care about someone else's personality in order to pull them? I could never do that. I feel like I'm a little bit too honest or too desperate for having a laugh. Yeah. But some people are like, oh, yeah, and then they make up a little story about themselves. I could never do that. Oh, you should find, isn't this weird? You know what I mean? I, I can can do that sort
yeah.
of that
and that's
sort of
funny
that
though, what
role
you're
play
like, though, isn't it? You know what I yeah. mean? Like you tell stories on stage, and yet isn't it funny yet?
But I feel like, yeah, I don't know, I'm never very good at that kind of thing. But then I wasn't very confident either, so that was probably part of that.
Oh,
and
no.
I wasn't a looker as a teen. I mean, you've
what?
Seen...
What? No.
You've seen that photo of me in that school, that suit.
Wow.
And also, there's a big period of that where it gets worse, and I didn't have any photos, because no, I wouldn't be in any photos.
I mean, fair play to you. I mean, some people wouldn't put this in their book. Some of these photos. I mean, good for you. That fucking fishbowl in Spain.
That's me and Lloyd. So this is quite interesting. Me and Lloyd went on holiday. Lloyd Griffith, the comedian.
Yeah.
From Grimsby. Very similar working class backgrounds. We went up to the Edinburgh Fringe, and you'll know about this. Edinburgh Fringe is so middle class.
Yeah.
It's like a rich boy's sort of summer camp, isn't it? And we subconsciously didn't realise... Well, what, no, which one's that?
What? That one in the suit.
Oh, my God.
You look like someone from Foxton's.
with a hormone problem.
Yeah.
But he's got overactive, underactive thyroid at once.
Was this the time? Is this on like an old camera, or is it like a phone where you could have deleted that and done it again? Or
that's old camera.
Well,
that's you been know, that someone at Boots developed that.
Didn't have a imagine sticker
that,
on.
Oh God! Also, the other thing is, well, I was so self. That was another thing of holidays. I was so self conscious when I was going through puberty. I had massive fat nipples, like big bulbous nipples, and then I'd if you go to the one of me on that beach in the deck chair, I'm covering them up. But they'd get so big in the heat. You know, nipples swell in the heat. So I'd be so conscious on holiday, I wouldn't take my top off.
But it just reminds me of that time you came round the house on a Saturday, and then you went, do you mind if I just make myself comfortable? And just pulled your trousers down, sat in your pants. Do you remember that?
We came round your house.
We're all, hey, fine, let's get all our jogging bottoms on, lovely.
What happened was, I turned up in jeans and a T-shirt, we were sat in your garden, getting drunk on rosé.
That doesn't sound like me.
Yeah, you was having a bit of a chat, you was trying new things. And then I got really hot, I was wearing black jeans, and I went, do you mind if I just take my jeans off and I'm just wearing my shorts? Because they're sort of like shorts.
No.
Isn't that what happened?
They were round your ankles before you said, do you mind? You say, hey, do you mind? And then he went, it was like the full Monty. Wick, do you mind if I take my trousers off? I was like, nice to be asked.
Well, do you know what? If you want to get ahead in showbiz, I've got invite around Alan Carr's house, and you know what happens.
Well, I am that predatory. What a great!
That was a right
great.
Fun. That was because I think it was when the start of when you could meet people and go to each other's houses against the rules.
Yes,
and I think especially we're both in the public eye, we had to be even more, a lot of people didn't.
No.
Do the rules at all, and we were both very strict with the rules.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The sun come out, it felt like the start of summer.
Yeah, it was really lovely. Nice. Yeah, and then we were meant to, you, your family, and Tom Allen went to come out, and we never happened, but we'll have to rearrange that definitely.
We will shortly be arriving in Spain. If you'd like to put all your luggage underneath the seat below, that would be wonderful, and make sure your tray table is stowed away. Muchas gracias for flying Allen Air. Ciao. Adios.
Listen, your book's brilliant, a class act. Good luck with it. It's really
good. Thank you. Cheers,
really Alan. Good. Really from the heart and lovely and just shows what kind of person you are. That sounds really bad. Just shows what kind of person you are. Obviously, I would just hope very sincere.
Well, yeah, of course. So.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Before you go, a very quick fire round.
Yes, of course. A quick fire round or quick fire
quick
round? Quick fire round or quick fire round?
Quick fire round.
Quick
is that
fire
right?
Round. Okay, yeah. Quick fire, go. Yeah, okay. Right, boiling oil, what do you do?
Well, no, I know this one already. Yeah. Full English or full moon party?
Full English.
Thong or sarong? Have you ever worn a thong?
I
suppose with Rob and Romish, you got them all the time, haven't you?
Yeah, I think
I've... Because that's another thing we haven't really discussed.
What's that?
You go everywhere.
Yes, with Romesh.
With that show, you've travelled. Do you get any time to see any places? Or is it... Because I've done a road trip with a League of Their Own, which I think did the same show. You don't really get to see it, do you? Like, quick.
Well, so it's weird, though, because it depends what we're doing. Like, for Iceland, for example, we went to Iceland recently.
Yeah.
We got to... Because some of it incorporates the local place. So with Iceland, it was about World's Strongest Men. And we had to look at where they, you know, came from and stuff like that. So we're going up mountains and all that kind of stuff. So we did get to see... We saw a volcano. Flew over a volcano in a helicopter.
Wow.
I was a bit nervous in a helicopter. I've been in a helicopter. Yeah. A bit scary.
Do you know what? I don't feel safe in a helicopter.
No.
Do you know, for the Friday Night Project, me, Justin and Mark Ronson flew
over, oh my God, I feel sick, in a helicopter over the Empire State Building, and there's photo of us looking down on it. I mean, it makes me just...
Yeah, I don't like it when they
and
twist
it around.
And
it stinks, oh, I know, and it stinks the fucking petrol. Yeah. I know, you've got just something rotating behind you. You think, that stops.
I know!
And also, if I die with Mark Ronson, no one's going to give a shit about me. I'll be like in the little bit at the bottom.
Okay.
And someone else died.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
I know.
No one cares. No, but, so you do get to see a bit.
Yeah,
with Rob
especially if you, it depends on the time difference. If you go to America, what's quite good is you normally get there the day before. Yeah. So you go out for dinner, and then the next morning, nice. You're up early because of jet lag. So you see it in the morning, then you go and do your filming.
Yeah.
So that was good when we did Philadelphia. I could go up the Rocky Steps.
Oh, wow.
And all that kind
of
stuff,
yeah.
which was fun. But it's not just annoying blokes running up and down, actually doing it for real.
Oh.
Playing music out loud and filming themselves doing the Rocky.
Oh, I suppose that's Instagram, isn't it, for you?
Sorry, are you 79? Eyes down for a full house, come on.
Oh, bloody hell. First aid kit or first aid shit? Do you take plasters and all that?
I don't know what the option... I don't understand.
No, I don't.
Options.
I only say it because it rhymes.
But Lou does have a first aid kit that we take
with us.
We've
got kids, you've got to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So
but did you, before, did you used to do insurance? Oh, fuck
it, I used to do
it,
yeah. I'm quite a conscientious traveller.
Oh, God,
that's
nice.
Yeah, I get my, you know, £3 insure and go, which probably does nothing.
Yeah, you need to look at the small print. Yeah. Well, I've got the one with my credit card. They go, well, that's all right. And I don't know if that fucking does it. You know what I mean? If I'm like,
yeah,
break my legs or whatever. I don't know if my Tesco Club card will cover it. Nudist or not on your Nelly? Have you ever skinny dipped?
Yes, I have skinny dipped.
Sober or pissed?
Pissed. Yeah, not sober. We did it on my stag do. We went to Malaga and we got this villa and we all shared it with all my mates and we were playing a game called Flip Cup Dicks Out.
Oh, yeah.
Where you get... You know the Flip Cup game? Basically, where you get the... You have to flip it up so it lands the other way up.
Oh, is that like beer pong?
Yeah, so you get those cups but on the edge of the table and you flick it like that and you've got to get it to land in
I know this game. I've
so we
it.
Had two teams of like five or something and the losing team had to strip naked and then go down the slide without... We used to call it Dicks Out No Lube because the slide weren't allowed water on it so it hurt your bum.
Dicks
and then,
Out
And then you just go down and you could see like people just slowly go... And then just drop it in with their knob out. Anyway, so my team won, so we didn't have to do that. My dad was on my team, but he still got his dick out and went down the slide, no loop.
I love
big,
that.
Big grey nest.
Oh my God,
that's horrible.
Good for your and dad, my, though, my for mate, getting involved.
And my mate had a GoPro, like, and he was filming it all at me, and it's all us giggling, going, woo, covering our bits and going down the slide, and it's all laughter. Yeah. And then he jumps in the water, and then obviously the sound goes, and because we're all in the water, no one's covering their bits, and it's just the most disgusting, silent video of just blokes' knobs just...
Oh, and here we're back at Jelly Deals.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, like a coral reef moving. It's a silence. And you hear the odd...
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. And on that note...
Yeah, oh, sorry.
I'm going to... No. Thank you so much.
Oh, I've enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Oh, cheers, mate. It's been fun.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Thanks for flying, Alan Air. Oh, my God, it's so good to be back, isn't it? Thank you all for listening. Please rate us, but if you give us anything less than 5 stars, just piss off and go bother someone else. Bye. Next week, I'll be talking to Emily Atack.